13 to 35.
Luke 24, 13 to 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been known to them in the breaking of the bread. These are the words of the scriptures. Thanks be to God.
You never know when God's going to call you to serve the people. Thank you. It's good to have a sense of humor, even in church, especially in church, maybe. Oops. Would you take a moment just to pray with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our God, our strength, our life. Amen. So, if you've been coming along with us in the lectionary, you know that this year we're jumping in the Easter story from John to Luke in order that we might continue this exploration of the different ways that folks experience the resurrected Jesus. So, I'm just going to take us back for a minute and review where we've been. First, we have Mary Magdalene, who sees John, who sees the empty tomb, runs to get Simon, Peter, and another guy, who beat her back there. They see the cloths, get it, and head out, leaving poor Mary weeping at the opening of the empty tomb. The angels show up and ask her why she's weeping. Then Jesus shows up and asks the same question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Hello. And she's just distraught. Can you picture it? Let me tell you, when I'm in a state, it's not a pretty picture. I'm crying, my nose is running, my face gets all red, I have no idea what's going on. And there she is, just this wreck, this ball of grief. "Mary," he says. Recognition. "Rabbi," she says. In her desperation and reaching, he says, "Do not cling to me, but go and tell the others. And she does. Then we have the Doubting Thomas story. Poor Thomas. The guy has basically a bad rap forever. But he's, nope, no way, not a chance, won't buy it, won't until I get to stick my finger in the holes on his hands. We can judge him. Oh, Thomas, oh, you of little faith. But let me tell you, I've been there. Nope, nope, no way, not believing. But what happens? Thomas gets the proof that he needs. He probably ends up feeling a little sheepish about it afterwards. But then this week, we have these fellows on the road. They're bummed, walking down the road, deep into this conversation, trying to make sense of everything that happens. And along comes some guy who doesn't know the big news that everybody knows. Poor guy. Hey, what's happening, guys? We were just talking about all the things that have happened. What things? Seriously? Seriously? Hello, Jesus, crucified, supposed to save us? It's been 3 days. So then Jesus lets them know about the scriptures, about himself, and they're still not getting it. So he gets ready to head on down the road, and they're like, well, it's late, why don't you come on in? And he does, and in the breaking of the bread, their eyes are opened, and then he's gone. And then right away they head back to Jerusalem to share the good news. So here we have three of many different encounters with the risen Christ. First, Mary's just such a mess, she can't even register that God is right there with her. Second, Thomas's ego closes the door to the fact that God is right in front of him. And now these guys, bummed right out. Right before this in Luke, we hear that they've just come from Mary Magdalene and some others telling them what had happened, and it says they didn't believe a word of it, thought they were making it all up. So someone has told them the capital G, capital N good news, and they're like, no. Nah. And then God shows up and starts spelling it out for them. No. Nope. Right above their heads. It's all theory at that point. It's the practice of breaking bread together is what does it for them. Their service to God allows them to see. What we have here is this amazing invitation through Scripture to wade into the Easter story and feel out what it means for each of us. This is more than a story about resuscitation. This is resurrection. This is new life that is offered to each one of us through the risen Christ. So how do we experience Jesus' resurrection? How can we respond to the Easter story ourselves? Because the resurrection isn't the end of the story. It's the very beginning, really. But it begins in grief, in sorrow, in disbelief, in won't belief. Looking around this room today, there are folks who are eyeballs deep in grief, in sorrow, in pain, in the dark. From our story today, in their grief, the men are walking the road to Emmaus, which, just as a side note, translates to warm spring. But I would offer that we all have our Emmaus, a place that we run to when we are despairing, when we have lost hope. For some, it's right here. It could be our parents' house or our child's house, a friend's home, a trail in the woods. So as they walk down the road, they're sharing the stories and experiences of Jesus. They are grieving together. Even as they explore scriptures with Jesus, they are partaking in that process. They are in community. They are working it out. Even that is kind of revolutionary in our culture outside of these walls, which demands that you, you know, pony up and you do it all yourself. But the key for them is in the sitting down and the breaking bread together. In that act, they are going beyond the intellectual understanding, and they come to see it with their hearts. They understand that which is right in front of them. So I'd ask you just to take a moment. First, where is your Emmaus, that place that you go to in your moment of despair? Where are the experiences in your own life when parts of your faith dropped from here into here? When your eyes were opened because someone welcomed you or you welcomed them? When someone opened up your heart, your door, your life to a stranger, to someone you didn't expect to be a blessing? What is it that keeps us from seeing with our hearts, from seeing the Christ that stands right in front of us, the resurrected Christ in our children, in our barista, our neighbor, our spouse? Maybe it has to do with expectations. We might expect to brush close with the holy in church, and maybe that's why we often do. I know that even in church, I've been caught off guard by spiritual experiences. The first time I took communion when I knew that I was pregnant with my first child, I was struck with this knowing that God already had a relationship with this little person, that it was something I could be part of, but that it was actually separate from me somehow, unique and already formed. So if we can bump into God in a place where we come to intentionally seek God out and still be surprised, I wonder what life would be like if we always expected to encounter God. New life, the risen Jesus. One of the cool things that I noticed about all of these stories is that in their aha moments, Jesus brings them into the present moment. For that snapshot, they are fully present, 2 feet on the ground, in reality. And it's in that presence that they are able to experience the presence. The name, Mary. The touching of the hand. The serving. The present moment allowed God to be fully revealed to these folks. I would suggest that the same is true for us today. How do we make space for the holy in our everyday? We can start by expecting to meet Jesus all over. Where are our minds closed to experiencing that? Really consider that, because that's probably where he's going to be. So as we open ourselves to that encounter and receive that aha, that moment of spirit, heart, God awareness, we can also expect that, like the folks in the story, we then become a part of it. Remember, they understood and they leapt into action. One of the definitions in Strong's Concordance defines grace as the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. Divine influence on the heart and reflection in the life. We are present. We experience God, and it flows out. When I started, I reflected that the last 3 weeks we have a chance to peek at 3 different ways that we can encounter the risen Christ, all pretty different, but with that common thread of not recognizing when we are looking right in his face. Now, we have these unnamed disciples or these other folks in so many of these stories. This is no accident. These folks are us. These unnamed are scriptural opportunities for us to place ourselves into the stories, to identify with the deep, resonant human truths that the stories convey. I would encourage you to pay attention. Pay attention to that as you pick up your Bible and read a story, as you listen to the scripture reading on Sunday mornings. Notice that invitation that Scripture has to dive totally inside. Now, I cannot leave today's story without just a little word about hospitality. We can hang out with folks from church, talk about what's going on for them, for us, discuss scripture. But it is in the sitting down, the sharing of the meal, where we encounter God. Because hospitality isn't friendliness. Hospitality is generosity and justice embodied. After all, we call Jesus our companion on the road of life, and the roots of the word companion are with and bread. So may we all see the face of the risen Christ in each person we encounter. Yes, in the seat right beside you. Yes, the guy who cut you off on the highway this morning. Yes, the person who parked in the handicapped parking spot with no sign. Yes, the woman you saw in the alley passed out with the needle in her arm. May we have the courage to see the risen Christ, trusting, knowing that they are a child of God, and treating them with the value that that consideration holds. May it be so. Amen.